Let us read now in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. Matthew 6, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. These words occur, of course, in the well-known Lord's Prayer, a prayer that is divided into two main parts. The first section, petitions concerning God, and the second section, petitions concerning ourselves. And in each section, it appears that the prayers get harder to pray. If you notice the prayers concerning God, first of all, hallowed be thy name is the first prayer. Thy kingdom come is the second. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's easy to pray, hallowed be thy name. That's something, as it were, up there and out there. Even thy kingdom come. It's a kind of general concept, a bit nebulous, perhaps vague. But then, thy will be done in earth. Now it's coming closer to home. This isn't just up there. This isn't just general. This involves doing, and it involves doing here. And it clearly implies us doing here. But then the second section equally gets harder to pray, at least with sincerity. The first petition concerning ourselves is this: give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer for providing grace. Then, forgive us our debts or our sins. Again, I'm sure a lot of people feel quite safe with that prayer. Nobody wants to be punished for their sins, surely. And then, though thirdly, and more with more difficulty, lead us not into temptation. A lot of people would find that a very hard prayer to pray, because this is exactly what they desire. They want temptation. They want opportunity to sin. They might pray for their sins to be forgiven when they've been committed, but they have no real desire not to commit these sins they pray for pardon for. Providing grace, fine. Pardoning grace, fine. But preventing grace, preserving grace, how hard it is to pray for that. But this is the petition we'd like to focus on this evening. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There are three main parts to this prayer. First of all, stop us. Stop us from being tempted. Secondly, support us. Support us when we are tempted. And thirdly, save us. Save us when we have fallen into temptation. Is there anyone here that can say none of these apply to their situation at the moment? Surely every thinking person can either pray, stop me being tempted, support me in the midst of this temptation, or save me as I've fallen into temptation. But first of all, here the prayer is, stop temptation occurring. Lead us not into temptation. You might think, well, surely that's a prayer to be addressed to Satan rather than God. Surely we would pray to the devil because it's the devil that leads into temptation, and yet here this is addressed to our Father. How come? Does God lead us into temptation, at least sometimes? Well, of course not. In the book of James, in James chapter 1, he says there, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So, if it's not God who leads into temptation, why pray to God? Lead us not into temptation. Well, although God does not promote temptation, he can permit it and he can prevent it. Although God is not the one who entices us into committing sin, he can arrest the forces that do. And so this is a prayer to God that he would, as it were, arrest, stop, halt temptation from even occurring, that he would address the forces that are the tempting powers in our own experience. And what are these two forces? Well, of course, there is the devil. So this is a prayer that God would harness, bind, chain the evil one. Why? Well, surely prevention is better than cure. There's a big promotion today of preventative dentistry. Why? Because if decay can be prevented, then much pain, much discomfort, much distress and many tears can be saved in the long run. And likewise, in the spiritual world, if we can be prevented from falling into sin, much grief and danger and distress will be prevented. But the devil does tempt. Somebody's compared him to a fisherman with lures. I'm sure you've seen fishermen's boxes full of lures. They're usually oversized, extravagantly coloured imitations of fish or flies with a hook underneath the disguise. And the devil designs his own lures. He makes his own lures. And he designs them especially for every single person. No two people are the same. No two temptations are the same. Just as you go into a shop and you might see thousands of lures for all the different kinds of fish and conditions, so the devil has his own specific lure for you. And he's taken care to meticulously frame it and colour it and order it so that it's got just the right ingredients, it's just the right size, just the right colour to attract you. He knows what to lure you with. He knows when to lure you. He knows how. And so this is a prayer that God would stop the devil from casting that perfect lure in front of our eyes. That before he does it, that he would, as it were, entangle his arms, chain him, handcuff him. Or that he would even stop him in the designing of that particular temptation he's got in mind for you. Lead us not into temptation. Stop the devil. But we can't blame it all on the devil, can we? What does this verse say that we read in James? Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. There's another force. There's another power. It's not out there or down there. It's in here. As somebody once said, everyone is his own tempter. Our own hearts are designing lures, creating temptations, presenting attractions. And our own heart knows us very well. And it can manufacture exactly what it knows will draw our eyes and attract our attention and lead us in. And so when we are praying, lead us not into temptation, we're praying surely also that God would chain our own hearts, that God would restrict that evil production line in our own souls, that God would hinder this enemy within, this tempter that we don't look too far for. How many lures even our own heart has. The devil and our heart, when they come together, what a force. Who can withstand it? They can use anything. We can be tempted with prosperity and in poverty. We can be tempted through education and through ignorance. We can be tempted through religion and irreligion. We can be tempted through our enemies and our friends. We can be tempted in success and in failure. How many lures there are at every extreme. Oh, do you know your great need to pray this prayer? Lead me not into temptation. How can we avoid this happening? Well, obviously, first of all, we must learn our own weaknesses. We must learn where our vulnerable spots are. We must, through self-examination and self-knowledge, come to realize where we are most exposed and most likely to fall. And sometimes it can be the strongest person, but with a tiny chink in their armour. Let him that think he standeth, says Paul, take heed lest he fall. Apparently at the Battle of Bannockburn, the Scots won, not through the great force of arms, not through superiority of force, they didn't have that, but And nimble-footed warriors would jump up onto the back of the knights of England's horses, because just under their armour, between two plates, was a little hole that they got to know, and it was there they drove the dagger into. A little spot, a small weakness, and the devil knows your weaknesses. And you must get to know your own weaknesses too. That's part of the answer to the prayer. Lead us not into temptation. We're praying there that God would teach us and show us where we are weak, where we're most likely to fall, where the chinks in our armour are. And sometimes the answer's not too pleasant. Sometimes God will show us areas of our lives that we'd rather be blind to, that we'd rather know nothing about. Weaknesses of the flesh, specific lusts. And part of the answer to this prayer may be God showing you these hideous and vile areas of your own heart that you must have to guard most carefully. And also, if we're truly praying this prayer, we will avoid curiosity. Curiosity has killed more than cats. It has killed many souls. Just have a little look. I'll just look at one page. One picture. I'll just listen to one song. Curiosity. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? And also avoid experimentation. Avoid trying sin out. Just to see what it tastes like. Just to see what it feels like. Just to see what it looks like. Just once. A little trial, dip a little toe in for just a little second. And oh, how many have never come back. Who can experiment with sin and not suffer? How many there are even in hell this night, friends, who simply were going to dip their toe in forbidden waters, who were simply going to try it once. Oh, lead us not into temptation. As one of the old Puritans says, he who carries about so much inflammable material should keep the greatest possible distance from the fire. Would you go around with a gas canister and go as close as you can to a fire? Therefore, why take your sinful heart into dangerous situations which are liable to cause combustion and an inferno, not only in your own heart, lust burning, but for all eternity? Lead us not into temptation. Stop us from being tempted. But also, secondly, this prayer is for support when we are tempted. Sometimes God will allow us to be tempted. He will permit that lure to come before our eyes. He will allow us to end up in situations that are dangerous and risky. Perhaps to show us our own folly. in entertaining a thought, looking in a certain direction, in touching a certain thing, he might allow us to end up in a situation where we are in the midst of a horrendously powerful temptation. Or perhaps even just not because we've been particularly careless, but out of his sovereign wisdom, he will allow a temptation to come into your life, again to reveal to you your weakness, your sinfulness, your great need of his help in your life, that you might depend more heavily upon him. I was hearing of from a fisherman recently who was casting out into water. It was a very clear, it was a very bright day, a sandy bottom. And as the lure was coming back, he could actually see the fish coming out of the weed and the rocks, coming and following that lure, following it, getting closer and closer. Sometimes taking it, sometimes just missing it. And this prayer is about you who are in the same situation. The lure has been cast. The devil's drawing it in. And your heart's pursuing it. And the devil's drawing you and forcing you and empowering you and enabling you, as it were. And you're seeing that sin and you're being attracted to it. You fancy a taste of it. It looks so attractive. Maybe you can get closer, have a look at it, without perhaps taking it. Again, how many fish have done this and ended up being foul-hooked? Accidentally, as it were. How many sinners have followed sin, thinking, I can keep my distance. I can keep a safe gap between me and this lure. The devil's reeling it in. How many have been foul-hooked? Oh, friend, are you in that situation? You're following something at the moment. You haven't bitten yet, as it were. But you're allowing your mind to think on certain things. You're allowing your eyes to see certain things. You're allowing your ears to hear certain things. You're allowing your mouth to say certain things. You're allowing your hands to push certain buttons. You're allowing your feet to take you into certain places. What's happening? Can you not see? You're following the lure. You're being attracted powerfully. And you're in great danger. How close you are. How near you are to that hook, so well disguised and concealed. Oh, friend, you need to pray even now. Lead me not into temptation. Support me. Help me. In the midst of this awful attraction, I feel to this awful sin. Here is a prayer that we wouldn't be left to ourselves, left alone to fight temptation with only our own resources. It's a prayer God is willing to answer if you're willing to pray it. Who's going to stop you now? You've gone so far. You've come so close. You feel there's an irresistible power. There's an inevitability about the conclusion. Oh, pray to the Lord. Stop and support me. Help me. Strengthen me to turn away even at the last moment. Why does God allow us at times to be tempted? So that we pray this prayer. So that we learn the evil of sin, the power of iniquity, even in our own hearts, to shock us with what lies within. And it's to teach us the power of God. Oh yes, I know there are some present here who've been in this situation and they felt they're almost on the hook and they knew they couldn't resist with anything left of their own strength. And they prayed to God, lead me not into temptation, support me, help me. And at the very last moment, God has shown His great power. He's turned you away at the last second. And He's prevented you from bringing the inevitable to pass. God's great strength. And how does God deliver you in these situations? Well, even the prayer itself, turning you to God and away from looking at the sin itself, has a therapeutic, healing and powerful effect. Stories told of a dog whose master put a bowl and a dish of meat on the table, and the dog was moving towards it and going to take a bite out of it. The master saw it and had to say one word, stop. The dog looked away to the master's face, saw the face, down it came. Now the meat stayed there for a while till it was ready for cutting. The dog was going backwards and forwards in the room. And where was it looking as it passed the table? It was looking at its master's face. It wasn't looking at the meat. It was looking at its master's face. That's all it needed to do to be stopped from taking a bite. And even this prayer, if it works like that, it turns you away from looking at the lure to looking at your master's face. And that is often sufficient to deliver you. Keep your eyes heavenwards, looking towards the Master. Martin Luther was often very graphic when he came to describe the devil and his activities. And he was once asked how he overcame the devil. And this is what he said. Well, when he comes knocking upon the door of my heart and asks, who lives here? The dear Lord Jesus goes to the door and says, Martin Luther used to live here, but he has moved out. Now I live here. And the devil, seeing the nail prints in the hands and the pierced sides, takes flight immediately. Surely here is where we resort to in the midst of temptation, above all to the crucified Christ. And let the power of these sin-pierced hands, that sin-crowned head, that sin-pierced side, that sin-tortured body, let that drive them away from your door when the devil comes knocking. There are certain times when temptation is especially powerful. And again, it becomes us to pray to the Lord that He'd help us to know the times when we are at our most vulnerable. Maybe after an illness, when we are weak. Maybe when we've been overworked and distracted from God and spiritual things. And maybe when we are weak in our minds with anxiety and worries. There are specific times when these lures look especially attractive. There was once a minister who was speaking of these seasons of temptation, when must we especially look out? And he told a story about Bobby Leach. He's an Englishman who went over the Niagara Falls in a barrel and came out unscathed, unmarked. And some years later, said this preacher, he was walking down the street and slipped on an orange peeling and was taken to the hospital with a badly fractured leg. The preacher applied this by saying, some great temptations which roar around us like Niagara may leave us unharmed. But a little insignificant incident may cause our downfall simply because we are not looking for it. Oh yes, there are the Niagaras, and there are, we might say, the orange peels, the little things, the unexpected incidents, the times when maybe just our temper gets the better of us and we blurt something out that might destroy our whole witness. Support us when we are being tempted. But finally, this prayer is a prayer to be saved when we have fallen into temptation. It's put, not only lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here the prayer is in a sense envisaging a situation where temptation has not been stopped, when support has not been given or not sufficient, when the person has indeed fallen into evil. And now all that remains is the prayer to be delivered from it, to be rescued from it. Again, if we might go back to the fishing illustration, we think of the fish who has taken the lure, who's swallowed it, who's hooked, and is now being wound in by that vicious hook and that strong angler. And it doesn't matter how much the fish fights. He knows that on his own he's finished. And it may be, friend, that you're here tonight and you feel you're finished. Temptation was not stopped. You didn't want it stopped. Temptation, you weren't supported in it to resist it. You didn't want the support, maybe. And now you've fallen. You've swallowed the bait. You've taken in the hook. And you're being reeled in. You feel powerless. You're now in a particular course. You've begun a habit. You've fallen into this sin, and you cannot break free from it. You're feeling the power of evil in your own heart, and the power of evil in the devil. And you're feeling your utter powerlessness to resist. What's left? Don't give up. Don't give in. There is a prayer remaining that you may yet pray. You may be almost in the net. Indeed, you may be in the net. But still you can pray. Deliver me from evil. Cry out that God would yet straighten the hook. Cry out that he would help you throw the hook. Cry out that he would yet come with his mighty arms and take you out of the net. It may be you've engaged in a course of doubt and now you've come to a state of unbelief. You've entertained the world's pluralism and multi-faithism, and now it's got a grip of your heart and you can't get rid of it. You can't get back to your once certain and sure faith, and you're in a sea of confusion and doubt. Oh, pray, deliver me from this evil. It may be that you've got into a relationship and you've allowed it to develop too far, and it's gone much further than you ever anticipated or wanted, and how hard it is now to escape. You feel it's hopeless and you feel helpless. You feel the embrace, not only of one perhaps you have great affection for, but the embrace even of the evil one. It's not too late. Pray, deliver me from evil. It may be you've allowed certain images to enter your eyes. Magazines, books, websites. Christians aren't immune from these things. And now you're in the net. And you feel you're about to be slaughtered, killed, finished. You're providing, as it were, a meal, a sumptuous feast for the devil and the world to eat with great relish. It's not too late. You can still be delivered. Pray the prayer. Deliver me from this evil. It may be you've stolen. You've stolen from a mother or a father or a neighbour or your employer. And you're now in so deep. How can I ever escape? You've cheated. You've been dishonest. How can you admit to it? Never have credibility again. Here is your hope. A prayer heavenwards. Deliver me from evil. Don't give up. God is able to rescue you from the worst of situations, from the deepest of pits, from the most entangling of nets, from the most deeply set hook. He is gracious. He is merciful. He's not going to come and say, well, you deserved it. It was coming to you. Does God ever say that? When a sinner truly cries from the depths for mercy, he'll cast out no one who comes to him. No one has ever perished at his feet, and no one ever will. Bring whatever temptation it is and say to him, deliver me from evil. Is he not strong enough? Is his arm shortened that it cannot save? Is his ear heavy that it cannot hear? No. Cry out, even now, sinner. Cry out. Because if you don't, the consequences are even graver. Will you pray that prayer? Can I hear it in certain souls even now? Surely everyone here has a prayer from this passage. Stop it, or support me, or save me. May God give you the prayer, and may God give you the answer. Let us pray. O Lord, thou knowest exactly where we are. Thou alone art able to stop temptation, to support us in it, and to save us when we have fallen. O that thou wouldst be in our midst, and that thou wouldst be gracious and merciful and kind. And if we have bitten, Lord, save us. And let the scar, let the prick of the hook teach us eternal lessons. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.